Our next guest is Professor Tom Stoffregen, and Tom is the lead author of a new study. He's also a kinesiology professor, and he's the lead author of a new study that shows using iPads and other mobile devices can kind of make you feel sick. We're going to find out just why here as Professor Stoffregen joins us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you aboard. You had done an earlier study about a similar topic, something that kind of fit in with this. How did you happen to latch on to what iPads might do as far as motion sickness is concerned?
Well, I've been studying motion sickness in one form or another for about 25 years, and I've studied seasickness and sickness in flight simulators and just about anywhere that this unfortunate malady occurs. And one of the things that's really pretty well known about motion sickness is that if you're in an automobile, the passenger maybe is going to get car sick, but the driver almost never does. And that's true for automobiles, it's true for aircraft, it's true for, you know, just about anything. The person who's in control of the vehicle generally it has a lower risk.
Yeah, I believe that even just riding in the front is helpful rather than the back of a car.
Well, a lot of people say that, and that may be true. That wasn't the particular thing that we were studying. What happened for us is that the as the video game industry has developed, the quality of the video games, the visual quality, sometimes called the resolution of the video games, has gone up. You know, they look a lot better than they used to. They're more realistic. But also, the manufacturers are putting into these games capabilities that, I suppose they're there for entertainment, but I was able to sort of exploit them for scientific purposes. So a lot of video games nowadays have the option to play a game and record your gameplay, record what you're doing, and then play it back later, sort of like a movie. I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but it's in there. And when I learned about that, I immediately thought, oh, well, this offers a new way to study this effect about the difference between a person who controls the motion and a person who simply is exposed to the motion. So we got some off-the-shelf Xbox video games, and we set up the monitor down in my laboratory, and we had people play these games. And when we recorded what they did, and then we brought other people in and had them watch the recordings. And so, you know, you have a situation there where the person playing the game and the person watching the game are exposed to, you know, the exactly same identical motions, just as in an automobile. And that gave us a way to study that effect in the laboratory instead of having to get into automobiles and aircraft, which is not very convenient. And sure enough, we were able to show that, yes, if you are watching this high-resolution, complex video display and you are controlling it, then you're very unlikely to get sick. And if you are a person who happens to be watching this display and not controlling it, you are much, much more likely to get sick. So we confirmed what drivers and passengers typically report. But we also did it in the context of video games, and there's a... The research that we're doing sort of points in two different directions. It points at the sort of the general questions about where motion sickness comes from in general and why people ever get motion sick anywhere, on the one hand. And then on the other hand, as we start to do this research with video games and Xboxes and tablets and stuff like that, then people are naturally interested, like, oh, is this telling us something about my device? And so we're able to, hopefully, to answer some questions about both of those things.
When I first got my iPad here, I don't know, 3 years ago or something, it used to drive me crazy. Whenever I moved it, the thing would keep flipping around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the screen would keep flipping around. I didn't get motion sickness, but it seems that from your study, that's kind of what happens if they're not controlling it. It's just happening. Happens to folks.
There are a couple of points that need to be made about this. I mean, the we did the study on an iPad. Yes, that's true. But I do not have any reason to believe that sort of general purpose use of the iPad or any tablet computer will tend to make people sick. I have an iPad 1, okay, the original iPad, And you know, I love it. I use it all the time for email and, you know, various things. And it's never a problem for me. The problem comes when I pick that iPad up and play some sort of a driving game or any kind of a video game on there, what they typically refer to as a first-person shooter game. So my study does not indicate that the iPad as a device makes people sick. What it does is it shows that when you play video games on an iPad, that, you know, you have a risk of motion sickness that is more or less the same as if you play video games anywhere else.
Can we talk a little bit about motion sickness itself and really what it is? I used to understand that it had something to do with our inner ear, but maybe you're discovering there's a lot more to it than that.
Well, this is the real scientific or the basic science question is what is the real cause of motion sickness? And you're right. I mean, people have thought for at least 100 years that this was essentially an inner ear problem, or that there was some sort of conflict between what your inner ear was telling you and what your eyes were telling you and that sort of thing. We have taken a very different approach to it. And first of all, I should say that while that idea is very intuitive for a lot of people, it doesn't seem to have produced results that have had a lot of practical value. Okay, so one really nice example is that as the quality of our digital displays has improved, that more and more people are getting sick. If you have 100 million people playing Xbox games and 100 million people playing iPad games or, you know, video games of any kind, and 10% of them get sick, well, that's millions of people getting sick. And so if the traditional explanations really helped us to solve problems, then we shouldn't be having that problem. So that's really what motivated us to try a different approach. And we have been looking at this in terms of the way people move and how the control of the body may affect the experience of motion sickness or simply the occurrence of motion sickness. The easiest way to explain this maybe is in thinking about seasickness. So you get on a ship, and the ship moves around underneath you, and you have to control your body on a moving surface. The way that you control your body, the way that you contract the muscles in your legs, and the way that you rotate around your ankles, and those very, very simple sort of things, needs to be different when you're standing on a moving surface than the way it is when you're standing on land. And it takes a while to learn that. If you buy a new car, it takes a while to get used to driving it. If you get a new prescription in your glasses, it takes a while to get used to wearing them. And similarly, when you board a ship and the world begins to move underneath you, it takes a while to learn how to do that. And some people do that more rapidly or more efficiently, and some people do it more slowly or, you know, whatever. They don't necessarily fall down. We're not talking about people, you know, collapsing. But it's possible to have a beginning approach to adapting to that situation that isn't very successful, that makes you wobbly, essentially, that makes you unsteady. And we find that people who have that unsteadiness, those are the people who are going to get sick. It's not very controversial to say that people who are already motion sick feel wobbly. I mean, that's old news. What we're suggesting is basically the opposite, that if you're in a situation that makes you unsteady, that then you're at risk for motion sickness. And that's true if you're in a ship. It's true if you're in an airplane. It's true if you're in a car. It's true if you're playing a video game. And this is the one of the results that's in the paper, the new paper that we're talking about, that we had people play an iPad game, a video game on an iPad, and we monitored the motion of the head and the torso while people are sitting down and playing this game continuously for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And we were able to show that, in fact, people began to move in very strange ways while they felt fine and before they, it was those people who began to move very strangely who subsequently, 20 or 30 minutes later, said, oh, God, you know, I feel really woozy.
Now, are we talking about maybe posture or body control as being an effective way to for people to avoid this?
Well, that's a good question, because if the approach that we're taking has some value, it certainly points at those kinds of things as ways to either prevent this problem or alleviate it once it starts. And yes, I certainly would recommend that if you are worried about that you might become sick in a given situation, the best thing to do is to sit down if you can, lie down if you can. If you can sit down and there's a headrest, then use the headrest, and you know, don't do things like reading that that are very demanding in terms of the stability of your head and eyes. And you know, if you can, close your eyes and that kind of stuff. I often get unsolicited emails from people who say that they're going on a sea voyage, and they ask me for advice about how to avoid seasickness. And mostly I tell them, you know, you want to get off your feet as much as you can, and stay off your feet, you know, for the first 2 or 3 days until you feel fine, until you're confident about it, and then go about your business.
We're speaking with Professor Tom Stoffregen, and we're talking about a study that he has been the lead author of, just completed, that shows that using iPads and other mobile devices can make you feel sick. And of course, we've moved out into other types of motion sickness. Seasickness is one that I think so many people have problems with, and you were just discussing lying down until you do feel better about being on the ship. How about all the other things that that are put out there, the patches, the meds, the, you know, constantly look at the horizon to avoid it? Is there any value in those?
Well, let me start with that last one. We have actually studied that last one pretty directly. We were on a ship a couple of years ago, and we had equipment with us that allowed us to monitor people's body sway and body movement while they were actually on the ship and while we were at sea. And we asked people either to look at the horizon or to look at the ship itself, you know, at something on the deck. And we monitored body movement while people were looking at these different things. And number one, we found that, yes, the old wives' tale is true, that if you look at the horizon, in fact, your body is more stable. And not only do you feel, you know, subjectively more stable, but yes, your body is also more stable when you look at the horizon. And number two, that the tendency that people had to have that effect, that is to say, people who successfully used the horizon to stabilize their sway, those people were less likely to get seasick. And there were other people who didn't really show that effect as strongly, and they were more likely to get sick. So that is the traditional advice that people give, and we were able to provide some real controlled scientific quantitative evidence that, yes, that's absolutely true.
How about something like vertigo? Does that fit in with motion sickness? Is that a similar problem, or is that a whole separate issue?
Well, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of debate about that. I think that they're similar, and I'll give you one piece of evidence that suggests that. This is a study that some other people did many, many years ago. They took people up on top of a building that was under construction, so like a 20-story building, and they're up there on the top floor, and there are no walls yet, there are no windows, so you're just out there in the real world. And they had people approach the edge, the actual drop-off, and look out. And this is, you know, it's sort of like standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon. Some people feel vertigo when they do that. But the critical thing was that they had different conditions. They had people stand at the edge and then, you know, give their ratings of vertigo. They had the same people then lie down on their tummies and stick their head actually out over the edge into space.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And when those people were lying down, they no longer felt vertigo.
Huh.
Okay, so it turned out that it wasn't about being on a tall building. It was about being on a tall building and standing up, and that goes directly back to the kinds of postural explanations that we talk about.
And there's other people that vertigo is kind of a different issue. It's just suddenly the world starts spinning around them. Is that any relationship to what we're talking about here?
Well, there are a lot of medical conditions. There's Meniere's disease and migraine, headaches, and that kind of stuff. And I want to be very cautious talking about that. I'm not a physician. I'm not really qualified to say very much about genuinely medical conditions. But I suspect that there probably is a linkage there, because it's certainly very well known that Meniere's disease causes people to have difficulty standing up and walking around. And it may be that the problem inside the inner ear that constitutes Meniere's disease that may cause people to be unstable, which in turn could, from my perspective, cause them to be sick.
Getting back to the mobile device problems, if I'm hearing right, it sounds like posture, doing some deliberate things, can help people avoid having that problem with mobile devices and motion sickness.
I think so. Unfortunately, the advice I have on that might not be very something that people would particularly like to do, but the strongest piece of advice that I could give for people who have this experience with mobile devices is do not play video games when you are on the bus.
That's an easy one for me.
Yeah. And you know, this is the thing. If you're taking a simulation, a high resolution, high quality simulation that tends to make you unstable, and then you're putting your body onto a vehicle and you don't control the motion of the vehicle, then you have two different sources of motion. You have the motion that's coming from the thing in your hand, and you have an entirely independent set of motions that's coming from the bus underneath you, and that's asking for trouble.
There's people like me that never seem to experience any of these types of motion sickness, even seasickness that hasn't hit me up to this point.
You're a lucky man.
I know. Is there a certain physical, or is there certain traits that you can predict people won't have problems, or are there just certain types that are more susceptible?
It's funny you ask that, because we're just now analyzing a study that we did last spring to begin to ask some of those kinds of questions. The general idea that we work from is this possibility that the way you move and the stability, the way you're able to stabilize your own body, has something to do with the risk of motion sickness. And so that naturally motivates us to ask questions about, well, what kinds of factors, what is a body like, a physical body, that will tend to be more stable, and are there body types, for instance, that will tend to be less stable? So we are analyzing data now on a study that we did where we took anthropometric measurements for people: height, weight, center of mass, center of gravity, the size of the feet, and various things that might conceivably influence the way that you move. And then we, with those measurements in hand, you know, we put people through our little device that tends to make people sick, and we were able to look at who got sick and who didn't get sick, and then we can sort of correlate that, the risk of motion sickness, with these kind of physical dimensions. And the specific hope there is that we can find a link. You know, one of the strongest effects that you see anywhere in motion sickness is that in any situation, whether it's a game or a car or a ship or whatever it is, in any situation, women are much more likely to report motion sickness than men.
Excuse me, but is there, you haven't done any study on this, but do you have any thoughts about why women would be more susceptible?
Well, but this is part of the study. So okay. we got a large group of women, and we ran them through here, and we got a large group of men, and we ran them through here, and we're taking all these anthropometric measurements on them, and mm-hmm. the principal focus of the study is actually to try and understand what it might be that about men and women that would make a female body more prone to becoming unstable and a male body less prone to becoming unstable.
I guess that was my question, if you had any thoughts about why that would be. But
well, I'll give you one thought. And that is something that's quite well known and completely uncontroversial, that women tend to carry their weight toward their hips and men tend to carry their weight a little higher toward the chest. In formal terms, we say that the center of mass is lower in women and higher in men.
Gotcha.
And as a matter of physical stability, if you're trying to balance a stick that has a weight on it, and if you put the weight up at the high end, it's actually easier to stabilize the thing, easier to maintain that balance. And if you put the weight low down at the bottom of the stick, it's harder to balance it. So that's an extremely elementary, basic physical difference between men and women that in physical terms would tend to make women more likely to have unstable control of posture and would tend to make men I'm very cautious about saying that because sure. I don't the political connotations of
right.
I really don't want to go in that direction.
We'll leave that one right where it is, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah. We've been speaking with Professor Tom Stoffregen, and Professor Stoffregen just completed as the lead author, a study from the U of M that shows using iPads and other mobile devices can make you sick with motion sickness. And of course, we have been discussing many other aspects of motion sickness. Professor Stoffregen, I want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight. We've learned a lot.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
And we hope we'll talk to you about your other study that you've just starting at some other point in time.
I look forward to it.
Thank you very much.